This podcast is featured on the Gun Rights Radio Network, podcasting freedom.
The Liberals Gun Corner, a proud member of the Gun Rights Radio Network, hosted by Cowboy T, San Francisco liberal with a gun. This podcast is always available at www.liberalsguncorner.com, and you can email us at cowboyt@liberalsguncorner.com. Cowboy T here. We have reached episode 20. Hey, that's pretty cool. Well, in light of the spy surveillance revelations of late, it's time we had to talk about a serious topic, and I've been meaning to do this anyway for a few months. Here it is. How long, or short, is the road to a police state? It's a pretty heavy-duty topic. You know, we do that around here. But before we do that, though, let's touch on something else that we talked about in episodes 16 and 17. It's actually kind of related to the main topic, so it does seem appropriate. I'm still getting some reactions to these two episodes, folks. They were The Racist Roots of Gun Control, Parts 1 and 2. A lot of you listeners out there are white folks. Some of you have given me some feedback, some positive, and some, well, not quite so positive. Folks, I'll say this again. No, I was not attacking white people. That's ridiculous. I was describing things that actually happened, where all these so-called gun control laws came from and why. You don't like that? Well, good. Neither do I. I don't like it either. That's why we cannot and must not allow that kind of crap to continue. That's why we gotta preserve the right to keep and bear arms, so that my dad can continue to defend himself like he has throughout his life. So you and I can do so too, if we ever need to. Let's, of course, hope that never happens, but it could. Pointing that out's not attacking white people, folks. It's just common sense. You have the right to defend yourself from thugs who want to hurt you. Period. I gotta say, some of the folks who opposed what I was saying, well, they reminded me of this fella I met at a gun show a few weeks back in a town called Manassas. The Virginia Citizens Defense League, of which I am a member, had a booth at this particular gun show. Guy walks up to the booth. I'm sitting down. One of the other members, she's an executive member, she's standing up doing just about all the talking to this fella. We explain what we're about. He likes this, you know, likes that whole pro-Second Amendment thing, you know, pro-gun, pro-rights, all that. He then says, "Damn monkey in the White House wants to take our guns away." There's a slight pause. Then he says, and I quote, "Mulatto bastard." Now, you know about those pregnant pauses, right? Well, there's a very pregnant pause now. The executive member, she sits down in disgust at this gentleman. She says, "Okay," and disengages from any further conversation with him. There's another 4 or 5 second pregnant pause. This fellow then asks both of us, "You know what a mulatta is, don't you?" Yeah. Well, at this point, now she speaks up again and tells him just how inappropriate she finds his discourse. She makes it very clear that his racist attitudes are not welcome here. I then calmly but firmly say, "Sir, I'm one of those mulattoes, too. Is that what you think of me?" Guys, this fellow's eyes, they go wide as saucers. He says, "You are?" I answer, "Yes, sir, I am." Well, there's another pregnant pause. Then, finally, he kind of spits out, "Well, fine, maybe I'll just go then." The other member and I both immediately say to him, "Yes, sir, that's an excellent idea." This fella walks away kind of awkwardly, clearly knowing that he messed up big, but unwilling to admit it or apologize for such behavior. Folks, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about when I say sometimes we're our own worst enemy. And using nice little code words or euphemisms like the Kenyan or welfare mamas or anchor babies, that doesn't help us. Folks, we got to cut that out. You don't believe me? Since, you know, I'm a liberal and all. Well, okay, maybe you'll believe a conservative. Y'all remember a guy named Lee Atwater? Well, here are Mr. Atwater's words on this very subject.
Here's how I would approach that issue as a statistician or a political scientist, or no, as a psychologist, which I'm not, is how abstract you handle the race thing. In other words, you start out, and now y'all aren't quoting me on this. You start out in 1954 by saying nigger, nigger, nigger. By 1968, you can't say nigger. That hurts your backfire, so you say stuff like forced busing, states' rights and all that stuff. And you're getting so abstract now, you're talking about cutting taxes and all of these things you're talking about are totally economic things, and the byproduct of them is blacks get hurt worse than white. And subconsciously, maybe that is part of it. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that if it is getting that abstract and that coded, that we're doing away with the racial problem one way or the other. You follow me? Because obviously sitting around saying we want to cut taxes, we want to cut this, and we want is much more abstract than even the busing thing, and a hell of a lot more abstract than never, never, you know. So any way you look at it, race is coming on the back burner.
That's not me, folks. That's a dyed-in-the-wool Reagan conservative who said that. Remember, he worked for both President Reagan and President Bush 41 as an advisor and campaign manager. The Southern strategy, that's what he was talking about, is still going on today, folks. I know, because I live in the South now. Not too far from the capital of the Confederacy itself, as a matter of fact. I hear this garbage on a regular basis, folks. We can't keep doing this. Not if we want to get people over to our side. Not if we want to win hearts and minds about the importance of the Second Amendment. Some folks have accused me of playing the race card and throw a race in our faces. Well, folks, it's not me doing it. It's guys like that fellow who came to our VCDL booth and called the president what I just told you earlier.
Bro, I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Something is wrong here. Dead giveaway. Dead
Charles,
giveaway.
Charles, thank you very
Dead
much.
Dead giveaway.
Thank you very much for your time. And
either she's homeless or she got problems. That's the only reason why she ran into a black man.
That was Charles Ramsey. Yeah, you know the guy who helped get Amanda Berry out of that torture house in Cleveland a couple months ago? Got news for you, folks. What Mr. Ramsey said is what every last black man in this country already knows, whether he admits it openly or not. All Charles did was say it publicly. When that's no longer the case, when black men no longer need to think about that, then we'll have made some serious progress. And since this is the Liberals' Gun Corner, I remind you all that, yeah, Charles Ramsey does have a gun. He calls it his entourage. I'm going to refer to that piece I wrote about how to get more liberals on the side of the Second Amendment. It's on my website, www.sanfranciscoliberalwithagun.com. Those of you who are having trouble accepting what I'm saying, well, I got to ask you now, do you want to win this war against our rights? And there is a war against our rights. Do you want to win it? Then listen to what I'm saying, because we need numbers. We need to get more liberals on our side. We in the pro-firearms community have got to stop that dog-whistle politics, folks. We got to be on the moral high ground. And that means being nice, even when you don't want to be. That's the only way we're going to get those numbers, and that's the only way we're going to win. Take a short break for station ID. When we get back, we're going to talk about the recent revelations about the NSA spying on Americans and how the Second Amendment relates to it. Government officials listening to this, you might want to plug your ears because you might not like this particular section of the program. Everybody else, though, you all stay tuned because this concerns you.
You can hear Gun Rights Radio Network on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Gun Rights Radio Network shows can be found under sources.
Anyone remember Spy versus Spy from Mad Magazine? I sure do. And speaking of spies, folks, I think even the platypuses in Australia know who Edward Snowden and Bradley Manning are by now. As I'm sure you all know, right now they're the two most famous leakers, traitors, or whistleblowers, depending on your personal point of view. Well, Bradley Manning recently got convicted of leaking a bunch of pretty embarrassing stuff over to the WikiLeaks website. Got published up there last year. I haven't read all this stuff, but from what I've gotten from CNN, Fox News, New York Times, a couple other media outlets that have written about it, apparently it's a combination of Department of Defense stuff and a bunch of diplomatic cables from the Department of State. Those diplomatic cables are apparently showing what we really think of some of our foreign counterparts. Whoops. Lots of egg on a lot of faces. Powers that be don't tend to like that sort of thing, you know? That's for sure. The folks over at the U.S. State Department and the Defense Department naturally were not amused. They captured old Bradley and they court-martialed him. He's recently been convicted of a bunch of charges. I mean, there's a laundry list. This guy's going to jail for a long, long time. Probably the rest of his life. Edward Snowden? Well, he also leaked a bunch of stuff. In his case, it was about just how much the National Security Agency, the NSA, or no such agency, just how much they can swallow up and spy on Americans' traffic on the wires. Yeah, it's not just phone calls, mind you. Apparently it's internet traffic as well. They call it PRISM. I'm guessing it's some acronym for something, I don't know what. But, yeah, it gets better. Seems that old Eddie Snowden recently revealed something else. Apparently the folks in the NSA can collect and look at, and I quote, nearly everything a user does on the internet. Yeah, this little gem's called XKeyscore, that's the name it goes by. Looks like it allows you to easily do pretty extensive searches on all that internet data being hoovered up by the folks at the NSA. The Guardian, that's a paper in the United Kingdom, has been reporting pretty extensively on all this. The entire executive branch of the United States seems really ticked off at this guy. They want to do with him like they're doing with Bradley Manning. But there's a little problem. They can't do that to him. How come? Well, because they can't get him. Seems old Eddie Snowden, see, was pretty slick. He knew he'd become a target once all this hit the news, so, well, he got out of Dodge ahead of time. Went into hiding. First ended up in Hong Kong, then he ended up in Russia. The U.S. State Department revokes his passport to keep him from going anywhere. But it seems the Russian president, one Mr. Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin, is rather enjoying giving the U.S. the finger. He's granted asylum to young Mr. Snowden, who's now in one of those, what do they call it, undisclosed locations. The powers that be here in the United States, they are not pleased. They're not pleased at all. Matter of fact, they're so ticked at this guy. They want him so bad. Get this. They got some European countries to band together to force an Ecuadorian diplomatic plane to land in Vienna, Austria on its way home. Yeah. Well, once it landed, plane got searched for, you guessed it, Edward Snowden. Apparently the State Department figured he'd make a run for Ecuador in a diplomatic plane since, well, Ecuador did offer him sanctuary. But Mr. Snowden wasn't on the plane. Result, major international incident. Hoo-hoo. Whoops. Like I said, the powers that be really, really want this guy. I mean bad. I'm talking like, you know, worse than I want to chow down on Swiss chocolate. And believe me, that's pretty bad. They want to make a serious example out of this guy. Now, whatever you think of these two guys, Bradley Manning and Edward Snowden, that's your business. You might consider them heroes and, I don't know, want to nominate them for the Nobel Peace Prize. Of course, you might consider them traitors deserving of medieval-style boiling in oil. Or you just might not give a darn. I don't know what you think of them. Personally, I leave judgment of them to the courts and other legal proceedings. Well, and apparently now including international law, too. Let them decide all that. You all out there can make your own judgments yourselves. I'll tell you the part that does get me, and it has nothing whatsoever to do with either Bradley Manning or Edward Snowden. Now that the big expose has happened, there is one major, huge consequence of all this. It's that we the people now know to a much fuller extent just how far our government officials are doing surveillance on us. We can't just say, oh, we didn't know anymore. Uh-uh. Our innocence about this is now blown to bits. We now bear the burden of knowing the truth. Seems that more and more they're watching everything that we do. Let's also remember how desperate they seem to get those drones in the air. You know, those unmanned drones with these cameras that can watch our every move? Yeah, they can look into our houses. Here's the really important question here, as I see it. Why, in the name of whatever god or gods you might believe in, why are we allowing them to do all this in the first place? Is it because we're that afraid of the terrorists? Is it because we just trust our government officials that much that they won't do anything against us? Or is it that we just don't give a damn? Folks, who's watching the watchers? That's supposed to be us. Are we? Every one of you listening to this episode, this is the kind of thing they do in countries like China, Vietnam, Iran, North Korea. Gosh, plenty of countries out there. Gosh, you even go to the United Kingdom even. You got camera after camera watching you, just walking the streets of London. Cameras everywhere. And now even our state and local governments are getting in on that game. Heck, in Seattle, the cops want to put a bunch of cameras up on the beach. More surveillance. My fellow liberals, we opposed this when we found out that the Bush-Cheney regime was tapping our phones indiscriminately. We protested it when we found out they were giving the finger to the FISA court. The New York Times did an expose on it. Bush and Cheney basically said, up yours, we're going to keep doing it anyway. The terrorists, you know, it's good for America. We didn't buy that. We saw right through it and called a spade a spade. Why, then, are we now saying nothing when it's happening under the Obama administration? Why are we so quiet now? Seriously, folks, is this really a liberal society where we've got increasing amounts of surveillance against us? I say no, it's not. There's nothing whatsoever even remotely approaching liberal about all this. And folks, this isn't the first time the powers that be have demonstrated their willingness to violate our privacy as people. Far from it. There's a fellow named William Binney. He's a former code breaker for the NSA. And some years ago, he reported the same things that, well, Edward Snowden's information is now corroborating. The program that Mr. Binney was responsible for just over 10 years ago was apparently called Stellar Wind. Same kind of things. The potential for abuse of this kind of surveillance is huge, folks. I hope I don't need to tell you that. There are reports out there, and J. Edgar Hoover used to do this, so I don't discount it, that the NSA's surveillance program is being used against other government officials, other U.S. government officials, cabinet members, generals, admirals, governors, other people in positions of significant power to keep them, quote-unquote, in line. I want to remind you of something from back in the day. More than one president had intended to dismiss J. Edgar Hoover from his directorship of the FBI at certain points. However, it's said that Mr. Hoover would have a meeting with each of these presidents, and they'd have a little conversation. J. Edgar Hoover remained in his position until the day he died. Turns out, Mr. Hoover was using the FBI to do spy operations and surveillance on other people in power to get him to do what he wanted. There's a name for this. Blackmail. He did this against political opponents on a routine basis. So, yes, it has been done before, and it can happen again. You kidding? Another guy, Russell Tice, another whistleblower. He talked about it happening in 2005 under the Bush 43 administration. I wish I had time to read to you what he said. I got it up here. But just Google the name Russell Tice, T-I-C-E, and you'll find it. I suggest you read it. Now, folks, I hope you see the problem with this. Oh, and by the way, it doesn't matter if you're a good little boy or girl either. No, that doesn't matter. Oh, you think it does? Think again. Cardinal Richelieu of France put it this way back in the day, and I quote, "If one would give me 6 lines written by the hand of the most honest man, I would find something in them to have him hanged." Uh-huh. There's a YouTube video series called Don't Talk to the Police. The first half is done by a professor who says, here's why you don't talk to the police. The second half is done by a police officer who tells you why. This cop says in the video, if he follows someone for long enough, eventually they'll do something that he could legitimately pull him over for. Yeah. You follow someone long enough, you'll find someone to hang him with. Is this the kind of life we want? Always having to watch what we say, every little move we make, every minute of every day? Even when we're in situations that should be private? Yeah, I know. Cowboy T, sure, this is bad news. But this is the liberals' gun corner, isn't it? Aren't we supposed to be talking about guns here? The answer is yeah, we are. But remember, we're not just talking about guns here on the liberals' gun corner. We're also talking about liberalism. I made that clear the first episode. We'd be doing that. Because it matters, folks. That other part matters, too. So, we're going to show you how and why this matters to gun owners, specifically. As soon as we come back. Short station ID coming up. Stick around, because we are far from done.
This podcast is supported from donations from listeners like you. Thank you for your support. We welcome one-time donations or $2 a month subscription to help support this podcast and Gun Rights Radio Network in its effort to bring you the high-quality pro-Second Amendment podcasts. Every dollar you donate goes directly back into the network. So visit gunrightsradio.com and click on the donation button. We accept all types of credit cards and PayPal accounts are not required. Gunrightsradio.com.
Any of this surveillance stuff, all that stuff have to do with us gun owners? Okay, fair enough. Let's get to that. There are law-abiding people in this world who own guns and don't want it known. They got various reasons for it, and yes, there are legitimate reasons, folks. It doesn't mean you're a bad person or a crook or anything else just because you don't want it known. Now, suppose you're one of these folks. The authorities have learned you're a gun owner. They get some sort of tip that says to them that, I don't know, you're a drug dealer, we'll say. They know you're a gun owner and presumably could shoot back against someone invading your home. Therefore, they send the SWAT team armed with M16s or something similar. They break down your door. No warning, no search warrant. They see, let's say you have dogs. They see your dogs and they shoot and kill them. Yeah, they kill your dogs. They're dead. They're bleeding. Then they point those same M16s at you and your family members. Your wife. I don't know, maybe your visiting mother. Assault rifles pointed at you by people who've just shown you that they're willing to pull that trigger. You think you're next. Of course you do. Scared out of your mind for your life, you meekly surrender, hoping they don't pull that trigger and kill you too. Sounds like Hollywood fantasy, doesn't it? The stuff crime drama movies are made of, you know? When's Bruce Willis or Clint Eastwood going to show up, right? Never actually happened for real. Not in this country. Just the movies, right? Guess again. A few years ago, in July 2008, that exact scenario happened to a mayor in the state of Maryland. His name is Cheye Calvo, spelled C-H-E-Y-E-C-A-L-V-O. He's a mayor of the town of Berwyn Heights, Maryland. He was mistaken for a drug dealer. A SWAT team raided his house, held the mayor and his mother-in-law at M16 point, and shot and killed his two dogs. Neither dog was attacking. Matter of fact, one of them was trying to run away. This is the mayor, folks. The end result? Since it was the mayor, naturally there was an investigation. Naturally, because of the blue shield, the investigation showed, quote-unquote, no wrongdoing by the officers or the police departments. No action taken against the officers or the respective police departments. Matter of fact, in August 2010, the sheriff of that police department said, quote, we'd do it again, tonight. Yeah. And how did the good mayor get mistaken for a drug dealer in the first place? Turns out the SWAT team planted a box of marijuana on the mayor's doorstep. Yeah, you heard that right. The cops themselves put it there, posing as delivery men. Of course, the family thought it was a legitimate package for them. Naturally, they brought the box into the house. They couldn't possibly have known that it had 32 pounds of marijuana in it. There was no way for them to know this. The record doesn't show whether the mayor is a legal gun owner. I'm guessing he's probably not. So, these cops did this to a presumably unarmed family. I remind you, this isn't just somebody's house. This guy's the mayor of the town. If they'll do that to the mayor himself, what'll they do to you and me? Something kind of similar happened in Indiana, too. Apparently, the courts in that part of the country decided a couple of disturbing things. Seems after a bunch of appeals, the Fourth Circuit Court, which covers Indiana, decided, get this, the cops don't have to get a judge's permission to do a no-knock warrant. Uh-uh. The cops could just decide themselves on the fly. Whoops. Oh, and then the Fourth Circuit also said that even if cops enter your home illegally, I remind you, you don't have the right to resist that illegal entry into your home. Your remedy is through the civil process against the cops in the precinct, they said. Yeah, that's what the court said. Like that's going to do a lot of good when your child or spouse gets shot by some trigger-happy cop. Can't take that bullet back, unfortunately. Well, enough of an outrage was generated by the people of Indiana that a law got passed allowing citizens to use deadly force against any illegal intrusion into your home, including against the cops. But that's not the point. The point is that new law never should have been necessary in the first place. Have these judges of the Fourth Circuit Court forgotten about this little thing called the Fourth Amendment? Hello! They're supposed to know about that. They're judges. Now, consider all the surveillance we just talked about a little bit ago. The authorities have been watching you. They know where you go. They know what time you go to sleep. They know when you go to work. They know who you talk to, who you email, where you surf to on the web. They know you're a gun owner. You think they're not going to come in with 25 or so members of the SWAT team, M16s at the ready, and break into your home unannounced, guns blazing? You really think they wouldn't do that? Well, I think we've just shown that they will. And the aunties wonder why most of us gun owners don't buy their silly notion that a gun registry won't be abused. Right. The authorities don't want us mere citizens to be able to resist them. Which, by the way, goes 180 degrees contrary to why the Second Amendment was put into the Constitution. Tinfoil hat? Think again. I remind you, this same mentality resulted in the persecution of a man named Phil Zimmerman. About 20 years ago, he came up with a way for the average citizen to use cryptography to protect his or her digital data from prying eyes. It's called pretty good privacy. Maybe you've heard of it. Well, the feds didn't like that and wanted to prosecute and make an example out of Mr. Zimmerman, too. Yeah, seems Phil's pretty good privacy was indeed pretty good. Made it a lot tougher. Well, actually, I'll just tell you, it was nigh impossible for government officials to snoop on people with their hard drives and their emails. Federales didn't like that. Uh-uh. They didn't like mere people able to keep their communications secret from the state. It was only through the efforts of some really good and dedicated lawyers, including the likes of Columbia University Professor of Law Dr. Eben Moglen, that Phil Zimmerman didn't get tossed into some deep, dark jail cell. This was 20 years ago, folks, during both the Bush 41 and Bill Clinton administrations. Doesn't matter which party is in power, you see. We're still seeing this sort of thing today. And you wonder why I believe in the Second Amendment? Really? I hope I've scared you some. Yes, it can happen here. It is happening here. The Second Amendment was put into the Constitution precisely to protect us against this kind of jackboot mentality. But there's a price for that. The price is, we got to keep it alive by exercising that right, folks, right along with our other rights. After the station ID break, we're going to hear from someone who grew up in that kind of jackboot life, and you're going to get a lesson on why all this that we're talking about here matters. See you in a moment. Yeah.
The forums are a great place to interact with the podcasters and listeners to your favorite podcast. Visit gunrightsradio.com and click on the forums button at the top of the page and sign up for your free membership, gunrightsradio.com.
We're back. We just got through talking about the revelations over the last several years about just how far we're going as a surveillance state. This is not a good thing. But hold on, I know. Maybe all this is still kind of abstract to some of you. It sounds like old Cowboy T here has got his tinfoil hat on a little too tightly, doesn't it? Well, okay. Maybe he does. Let's consider that possibility. So, I'm going to do a little something here. We all know there's some pretty doggone repressive regimes in this world. I've been to some of them. These are places like what gradually, it looks at least to me, like we, the United States, are starting to inch toward. Even Piers Morgan. Yeah, that rude individual, the Democrat version of Bill O'Reilly, and just as disgusting. Even he's finally admitted that our government officials are starting to border on tyrannical behavior. Listen to this.
People for the political beliefs.
You know, this is one of those things that just breaks my heart. I know have a lot of friends in the small government movement, the Tea Party movement, you know, that I don't necessarily agree with on everything. And when they say stuff like the IRS is targeting them, I want to be able to dismiss them. I want to be able to say, you're just being nuts, you're being paranoid, this is tinfoil hat stuff. I never want them proven right. And
that's how I feel. I feel that the Tea Party have squealed a lot about this kind of thing, I think, wrongly in the past. Mm-hmm. Now it's absolutely crystal clear that that's exactly what the IRS has been doing.
And I just don't want them to be right. I want there to be differences of opinion in this country. You know, I differ with Obama on a lot of issues, but I don't want anybody doing something that's just patently wrong.
What about Obama as a leader? Because I've not been overly impressed on any of these scandals. Jay Carney said to me earlier, well, only one of them is a scandal. Well, I don't agree, actually.
I liked you using the word dented.
Right.
The transparency.
Yeah, if you're going to put yourself up as the white and the white transparent president, then none of these three things, Benghazi, the AP scandal, or the IRS scandal, none of them are what I would call transparent government.
Well, you know, I always try to do this thing when I disagree with people, which is often, but I like them to be wrong and not evil. You know, I want to disagree with people. I'm very fine disagreeing with people. And when you cross this kind of line, when you actually do something that is wrong, it just blows the whole thing wide open. I want to be mean. I want to be aggressive. I want to yell in your face that you're wrong. But I hate to see something that's actually criminal.
See, I've had some of the gun pro-gun lobbyists on here saying to me, well, the reason we need to be armed is because of tyranny from our own government. And I've always laughed at them.
Sure.
And I've always said, don't be so ridiculous. Your own government won't turn itself on you. But actually, when you look at this, it's nothing to do with guns, but actually, this is vaguely tyrannical behavior.
Yes, it is.
By the American government. I think what the IRS did is bordering on tyrannical behavior. I think what the Department of Justice has done, actually, to the AP is bordering on tyrannical behavior.
There's no doubt about that. Once you use the word bordering, that's true. And I also think that it shows you how much we can trust the government and just sit back, which is not very much at all. We have to be ever vigilant.
Got the president basically saying, hey, look, I knew nothing about any of this. I learned about it on CNN. You've got Eric Holder, the attorney general, saying, look, it may be my department, but I recused myself. There's no evidence, apparently, that he did. There's no paperwork. He can't find it. And he still doesn't seem to know exactly what his own department has done to the Associated Press, where many view it as one of the most scandalous invasions of press freedom for a very long time.
Yes, it's huge. And when I see how some of the liberals are trying to spin it, saying, well, the Republicans are going to jump on this. Well, yeah, they are.
And by the way, I don't blame them.
I'm not a Republican.
The Democrats would be all over a Republican administration for this.
And the Democrats should be all over a Democratic administration.
You know that expression about pigs flying? Huh. First time I heard that clip, that's about what I expected to see out my window. Wow. You know, what's next? Sarah Brady getting a concealed handgun permit? I maintain that, for once, finally, old Piers said something that actually made some sense. In light of that, well, I just told you a few seconds ago we're going to do something, right? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to feature something on the Liberals' Gun Corner. A little testimony from folks who are from those oppressive regimes. call it a little reminder. We're going to make it part of the section of the podcast for the next few episodes. Folks, you may not want to believe me, but please, listen to them. They've been there. They know where an unarmed society leads to. And they're going to tell you. Let us start with a man from the People's Republic of China. Yeah, he goes by the handle June 4th. You all heard of the Tiananmen Square massacre in 1989, right? Yeah, the one with the dude who stood in front of the tanks, Tank Man. Well, June 4th isn't Tank Man, but he was there. He was one of the students at Tiananmen, and he did survive that brutal crackdown. Somehow, this guy managed to escape to the United States. I don't know how, but he did it. I don't know. I really do not understand how he pulled that off after Tiananmen. You'd think the People's Liberation Army would have killed him or thrown him into a deep, dark People's Liberation prison forevermore. You know they do that to troublemakers over there. Please understand that. You know they do that. Well, fortunately, he did make it over here. This is Mr. June 4th's testimony in January of this year, 2013, in Boston, Massachusetts.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This past Monday, I decided to visit the Lexington Green to pay my tribute to Captain John Parker. As I was walking on the green, I thought to myself, you know what? The founding fathers of the United States and Chairman Mao had one thing in common. They all thought guns are very important political instruments. However, their similarities ended there. Chairman Mao wrote in one time, he said, political power grew out of barrel of a gun. And he also wrote, the party shall command the guns. However, in 1791, James Madison and his compatriots, believing that the power of the government is derived from the consent of the governed, and they wrote, the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Years ago, I was a freshman year of college in China, and I was exercising my freedom of speech and assembly in Tiananmen Square. At that time, much like we're doing today, we grew frustrated by the governmental corruption, we grew frustrated by the limitation of personal freedom. So we demonstrated peacefully. However, the young passion and patriotism were crushed by hails of foot metal jackets by the AK-47s. Or some of you will say that's actually technically Type 56. We could not fight back because we did not have an inch of iron in our hands, to borrow a Chinese expression. We were not armed. Gun owners like us often say the Second Amendment is the protector against a tyrannical government. Some would argue that a man with a rifle has no standing against the military technology and machine of today. However, I would say that 20 million citizens in Beijing sure wish that they had some rifles to dispense at those days.
Yeah. Yeah.
Freedom is not free. Liberty has costs. We recognize that in this free society, criminals or mentally deranged could get weapons and murder innocents. The answer, however, is not to disarm the law-abiding citizens.
That's right. Yeah.
Not only criminals and the deranged will violate the laws anyway, more importantly, because when a government turns criminal, when a government turns deranged, the body count will not be 5, 10, or even 20. It will be in the hundreds, like in Tiananmen Square. It will be in the millions, as proved by the 90-year rule of the Chinese Communist Party. Our constitutional republic may look fuzzy and loving today. Well, if you think so, I got a TSA agent you'd like to meet. But keep in mind that absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yeah.
And when government has monopoly on guns, they have absolute power.
Yes.
Do you know that Chinese Constitution guarantees almost all the nice things that we have here? It is written in Chinese Constitution that Chinese citizens enjoy freedom of speech and religion. They have human rights and property rights, and such rights cannot take away without the due process of the law. And do you know what? Chinese people do not have the rights to keep and bear arms. I assure you, all those nice things written on Chinese Constitution are not worth the weight of the paper they're printed on. Because when government has all the guns, they have all the rights. I was not born a U.S. citizen. I was naturalized in 2007. In 2008, I became a proud gun owner. To me, a rifle is not for sporting or hunting. It is an instrument of freedom. It guarantees that I cannot be coerced, that I have free will, that I am a free man. Yeah. Now, suppose the 20 million Beijing citizens had a couple million rifles on hand in 1989. How many rounds should they have been allowed to load into their magazines? 10 rounds?
No.
7 rounds?
No.
How about 3 rounds?
No.
28.
Do not give up the fight, my friends. It may be a small step that you give up your rifle or a 30-round magazine, but it will be a giant leap in the destruction of this great republic. Now, in closing, I will quote the words of Captain John Parker. Stand your ground. Do not fire until fired upon. But if they want a war, let it start here. Yeah.
Mr. June 4th, I don't know your actual name, but sir, you just said it better than I ever could. Layla Myers, my friend who survived a military crackdown in the Soviet Union, I hope you're listening to this. If you are, it's probably deja vu, isn't it? That's why I honor you. Folks like you and Mr. June 4th, you know what it is to be free, because you know what it is to not be free. Folks, and especially my fellow liberals, you have a lot to think about here. Please do consider it. This is Cowboy T signing off until next time. Till then, safe shooting, keep practicing, review your constitution, and thanks for listening.